Thank you very much. Good evening. We're going to be following the Yerucha curriculum on Yidrach Chusadina. Don't worry if they become clay shakes. The next, we'll be used again as breakfast in the five towns next tomorrow. So I think the clay breakfast will be powered, so don't worry about it. Or whoever would like to take him home and learn the Sugi B'Iyun. This is one of the topics of the Yerucha program. In the second to last page on the, in the booklet, there's a list of the different chaburis, the different topics that we have. It's a multi-year program going through all of business halacha. This is actually the first topic, and it's all online. And if anybody's interested in starting a chabura or joining a chabura or learning as an individual, please visit us. One thing I did learn was that when going to give a shir on Dina Machusadina in Brooklyn, it's worthwhile leaving about 10, 15 minutes earlier. Because when you get to the to your destination and looking for a parking spot,
it's park illegal.
Yeah, so when you're giving a shir on the topic, it's a little bit more difficult. And then to make the U-turn around to get to the other side, to get the spot that the guy just vacated, you know, you start thinking, and when you think too long, you snooze, you lose. So you end up without a spot. this is a, you know, Shukayach for inviting me. It's a beautiful program of, you know, everybody gets together and learning Torah. Mincha Ma'ariv with the Achva V'Reis, it's a beautiful Ma'ariv. It's something that should be modeled and duplicated across the fruited plain. As Hashem, it's a Mamasha, a Kiddush Hashem. The Sugi of Dina the Machusadina, it's a little bit confusing. There are many sheets, there's a lot of gray. It's just very interesting that when Shulchan Aruch Choshen Mishpat is the most, the largest, the most complex area of halacha. You know, there's really two halachas that precede and really could control a lot of Choshen Mishpat. We're going to get into it. One is minute. Halacha is hakol kaminig ha-medina. Everything that is done is like the minute. We're going to speak about that a little bit tonight. The entire Choshen Mishpat really is only, most of it only talks about where there's no agreement in place, and in lieu of an agreement and lacking an agreement, if there's a minig, the minig would prevail even before the halachas of Choshen Mishpat. And Dina Machusadina comes in every single Shaila of Choshen Mishpat. What's the law? What's the halacha? What's the minig? Does Dina Machusadina play a role? Yeah. So it is a very fundamental issue. And Mirz Hashem, throughout the shir, we will have a nice few minutes at the end to answer questions on all of Choshen Mishpat. If anyone has any questions, it is welcome. Not necessarily relevant to today's shir. So you can start cultivating, developing those shilas in your mind. When we talk about Dina Machusadina, really we have to analyze three parts. We have to divide our talk into three different areas. One is we're going to discuss the basic makor. Where does it come from? Dina Machusadina, where does it say that the law of the land prevails? Where does it say that the law of the land is usually against halacha, or usually not in sync with halacha, or not exactly like halacha would be? So where does it come from? Another question which is very relevant is what type of government or governing body can invoke the area, the halacha of Dina Machusadina, and what types of law, what types of halachas are relevant to Dina Machusadina? Which halachas are under the jurisdiction, purview of the under the precept of Dina Machusadina. So let's start with the makar. Where does it come from? If we look at in the Marma Kremais, on, we'll start with the Gemara, page 8, the Gemara in Bava Kama, Kufiyud Gimel Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, ain't parted, the Mishnah says, you see the line on the side, ain't parted, let me take with the Muxin, let me kish al Gaboyim. You can't take from, you're not allowed to change money from the teva, from the coffer of muhsin, of a tax collector. So the Gemara asks, the second line, tonav nicely, didn't have a nice place, a shark, muhsin, a tax collector. What's wrong with taking money from a tax collector? It seems like any money that a tax collector has is a chashash guzzle. We're worried that it's stolen. The Gemara asks, well, Amar Shmuel, the famous halacha, Shmuel's halacha, which we know, it's interesting enough that the din of Dilma Chosadina really makes it all the way to Shmuel. Shmuel, who's an Amira, was the one who coined the phrase, who's b'chadish this din of din of the Malchusadina. The Gemara asks, why can't you take from tax collectors? Shmuel says, din of Malchusadina. Amar Abchanina b'kahan Amar Shmuel b'mucha she'en l'kitzvah. It's talking about a muchas that doesn't have any kitzvah. There's no rhyme or reason. We all obviously are very fond of the organization called the IRS, one of our favorite meisters. But in reality, in the olden days, they had a similar system, but they used to sell the rights to collect taxes. And usually the buyer was not a small, measly, skinny, scrawny guy. It was usually a guy who thought that it would be a good investment for him to purchase the rights to collect taxes. And then based on, his whim, he would go collect whatever taxes he felt was for, he was backed by the king. He bought the rights, and then he went ahead and collected taxes. The Gemara says, "Muchas she'ela kitzvah." If there's a tax collector that doesn't have a schedule, doesn't have an exact system in place, he just takes according to his whim, whatever he wants to take from one or the other, we wouldn't have Shmuel's halacha of dina the malchus of dina. That's one shot. The Beir of Yanai Amri, the mochas ha'aymin me'elo, a tax collector who was self-appointed tax collector, the poritz, the biggest guy, the strongest guy, the most scary individual in town, he would be oymin me'elo and say, I'm collecting taxes. So there, obviously, the halacha would be, there's no din of malchus din in such a case. Those are important. You say this, that it has to be kitzvah, it has to be kotzov, and we'll see different halachas that come from there. The next Gemara talks about, the next Gemara says that Omar Shmuel din of malchus din. Omar Rav, I'll bring you a raya. Rav says, on page 9. Omar Rav, I'll bring you a raya. That dina chusadina, the katli dikli, that the government chops down trees, the gashri gishri, and they make bridges. Bavrin and alayu, and we pass over them. We're allowed to go on bridges that are cut down by the members of the government who create bridges from individual people, their forests, their trees. So the Gemara asks, maybe it's because they're miyayish. So the Gemara says that it's talking about that there is no yiyush. And here we have the makar of Dina Lamachus Adina, one makar from the Gemara from Shmuel. Now, if we look on the next page, on page 10, we will see a svara. Ran and Adorim, the Ran says that the mucha samob habom amin ne'elov, shaloi v'mitzvah samelach, the kosva v'toisvitz. Dafka malche oyved kechomim omer dina mechusadina. Mipnei sha'aretz sheloi v'yacholoyim alehem emloi tasu mitzvoisi agarish eschameyav. Here it says the Ran, I'll explain to you where dina mechusadina comes from. It's only relevant in malche umas ha'olam, where the king owns the land. So basically, if he owns the land, he allows you to live in the land. So there so he can dictate his terms. If you don't pay taxes, we'll throw you out. If you don't abide with the speed limits, if you don't wear masks, we'll throw you out. Whatever it is, we'll throw you out because we have control. We own the land. However, in Eretz Yisrael, says the Ran, this is the famous Yisoid from the Poskim in Eretz Yisrael, that in Eretz Yisrael, there's no Dina Machus Adina. because no one owns the land. Eretz Yisrael is Kol Yisrael Shutfim by the Ram says a Rishon. V'chi Amrin Adin V'Chusadina Hani Mi Le'Inyan Shimkana Echad Meches Zechayav Amitain Loi. It's talking about a case where if somebody bought the meches. So, and in that case, says Iran, there will be a din mechuzadina. So what's the svar? Where does it come from? It's a regular, it's a rental. The king owns the land. The king has power. He owns all the land. He's allowing you to live. These are the terms. If you don't like the terms, you have to leave. So he can charge you whatever he wants to charge you. The Rashbam in Bava Basra, Daf Nun Dalet Amud Beis, on page 11, a very short Rashbam says it comes from a different understanding. He says that Dina Melchusadina, Shekol B'nei HaMalchus Mekablim Aleya Mirtzoyna. All we have votes and we empower the government. And since we all get together and empower the government, that gives the government power. And that's how the government is allowed to dictate. And that's where the concept of Dina Melchusadina comes in. So there's a big question. So we mentioned Muchas Haba Me'elo. So we'll skip now to page 17, and we'll see a Tshuva Samarik. The Tshuva Samarik says on page 17 that we don't say Dina Malchus Adina, Elo Kishahamelech Mashve, the third line from the paragraph, V'gam Ein Loimer D'Hocha L'Shayich L'Meimer Dina Malchus Adina, Kivin Shah Yisrael Peri Yoyse Me'agoy. Since the Yisrael pays more than the Goy, there wouldn't be a dina machus adina. The loyam rina dina machus adina kisham melech mashal midos. If it's across the board equal, that then there would be a dina machus adina. But if some people have to pay more, then there would not be a dina machus adina. And there are more on the next page, on page 18, there are more says in the two lines, vim chokak lebal umnes achas. If they make a specific tax for one omnis, there's a special tax, ribbis tax, or a cigarette tax, or a liquor taxes. If there's a tax for one specific industry, they're choosing one industry to make a tax. And it's not called across the board because this specific industry is only this industry is taxed. So that's really the basics. We have a few different reasons why the understanding of where Dina Mechusadina comes from. We'll end with this portion with the Dvar Avram on page 19. The Dvar Avram wants to say that maybe we can learn Dina Mechusadina from a Din D'Oraisa, from the Pasuk of Yish B'Menu Shevi, that the government is able to take prisoners. So we see that they have that type of control. But conventional halacha is that the Dina Mechusadina is not a deraisa, and that's why it becomes much more of a gray area. So now the big question that's posed is that we know there's a halacha of hafkas halva osay muteres, which means that technically there's a gemara in Bava Kama and many places that there's a halacha that Gezel Akum is Osir. Gezel Akum is just as it's a machloikis Rambam and Ravid. Machloikis of Gezel Akum is Midoraisa or Midrabanan. And when there's a suffix, it could be we can go to Kula many times. With Tois Akum, which is Tois Akum, Mata Akum, that those are more, there's more Makel than Gezel Akum. And then when it comes to taxes, when it comes to government, so you have to really differentiate. The first thing you have to differentiate is what we're talking about, a hafkas al halva or gezel akum, which means that anytime a person, let's say, misrepresents the facts, misrepresents and takes money, takes a gift, takes a benefit based on a misrepresentation of the facts, there we're dealing with gezel akum. It means we're taking money that doesn't belong to us based on different misrepresentations. So there, we're talking about gezel akum. taxes is primarily hafkos halvo. In other words, there's an obligation that we have. The person borrows money, so from an akum. You know, there's a tremendous issue of chil Hashem, which needs to be dealt with. But the starting point is that there's a din of hafkos halva muteres, that as, if it's a debt and it was given as a debt and the person has it, so that becomes more kulidik than gezelah, than going and taking something that doesn't belong to you. So that's the question that many achronim have. Why do we say din of malchus adina if there's a din of hafkos halva? When you owe an akum money and you mafkia the halva and you're able to, let's say, declare bankruptcy or not pay the halva, so there would be other heterim where so how does that play a role in dina malchus adina? So that we'll see. So just one, if we look at the Chuvas Harajba was asked on page 26. The Chuvas Harajba was asked, what's the halacha with regards to Yerusha? Right, a person dies intestate without a will, and the law is, let's say, that the wife would inherit half of his assets, the children split equally all the rest of his assets. We know in Parshas Pinchas, and the halacha is that when a person passes away, technically the spouse, his wife, doesn't inherit. His wife is entitled to mezainas, suva, the place of the housing that she's in, but the estate, the entire estate, goes to the sons, not the daughters. So there the question is there halacha of dina malchus adina when it comes to Yerusha? So the Chuvas Harajba was asked this question on page 26, and if you look at the second paragraph on the bottom where it's highlighted, he really goes to town, it's very, very strong. The Shain is trying, explaining and telling us why there's no halacha of din malchus adina when it comes to Yerusha. So, quote, he says, "V'soymech ha'meshanes k'nei ha'rotzen hazeh v'oisa eile," those who are trying to rely and are suggesting that we rely on din malchus adina, mapil choymais ha'toyro v'oiker shoyrish, he's really oiker the whole shoyrish v'anaf v'atoyro miyode tevakesh umar behind, he's trying to gain wealth b'zeh v'poyel kapov noikesh v'oimer ani shekol ha'soymet b'zeh, somebody who relies on this loimer shemutter, that he's allowed to go and rely on din malchus adina when it comes to Yerusha, toye v'gazlan hu the Gzela Yoshev, everything it's Gzela that he's doing, and he's extremely strong. But Chasle, the Afilu Gzela Yoshev, Rosh Mikri, Kedizaberg Akoinis. I was once with by visiting of Zalman Chemi Goldberg, Zatzal, in Eretz Yisrael, and I was reviewing a contract with him. And he asks me, like out of nowhere, like, how do you know that this apartment, it was a purchase and sale agreement on an apartment. I said, how do you know that this apartment is not stolen? Which is like out of nowhere. Like, why would he ask such a question? He's a son-in-law of Shlomo Zalman Auerbach, Zechanu Bracha. He was one of the greatest Dayanim he was Nifter about 2 years ago, I think, and he's one of the greatest Dayanim. So yeah, I wanted to know, how do I know it's not stolen? I didn't know where he was going, what he meant. So he explained to me that most people in Eretz Yisrael unfortunately don't follow halacha. And the law in Israel is that any asset that a person has goes to his wife, or gets, and half of it goes to his wife, and the other half gets divided equally between the rest of his children, the boys and the girls. So how many people in Israel were nifter without leaving a will? Now, if a person passed away without a will, and his sons are supposed to get the, let's say, this apartment, and instead they go to court and the wife gets it, or the daughters get it. So really, it's being stolen from the sons, because as soon as a person dies, if he doesn't have a will, it automatically goes to the sons, and they're the owners of this asset. So when you take it away, you're really, you know, taking away some an asset that belongs to the sons. Now the halacha is by karka, there's a concept called karka eino nigzelas, which means that usually if I steal, let's say a watch, so there's a concept of yiyush and shinui rishos, which means that if the person gives up hope, and then afterwards I sell it, or it goes to the next generation, Yerusha. So there the watch would end up being owned by the person who bought it from the thief. There's a special halacha that Yerush and Shinui Rishus transfers the ownership, and eventually the thief would be obligated to pay the victim for the watch, the money, but the actual watch transfers ownership. When we talk about karka, karka doesn't have that halacha because karka ain't an exelus. So karka, real estate, as long as it's in the wrong hands, it never belongs to the people who own it. So many generations down, after this happened, that person died and it was supposed to go to his son, and instead the daughter took it or the wife took it and went to court and got it in court, there would be an issue that it's really in the wrong hands. And then when that person dies, it goes to his yerushim, it goes to 10 different generations, and that apartment remains stolen for generations and generations. That's what Zalman Chaim was asking. Like, how do you know? He was trying to bring out this point. How do you know that this apartment is not stolen? How do you know that it's not in the wrong hands? So the Raj was telling us that we don't say in this case Dina Malchusadina, because if so, the Rama says, if you see the next page, 27, the short Rama, the Rama says, Anoisa Isha. Somebody marries a woman, the Mokum Shedonin Bedine Goyim, in a place where everybody adjudicates in the laws of the Goyim. Mason, she dies, Mason Ishtoi. Lo Yochel Avi Ishtoi, the father of the woman, Oishar Yosha, or the brothers or other Yorshim of this woman, can't say to the Baal, the halacha is Baal Yorish Ishtoi. The husband inherits his wife. But here in this Medina, the Minig and the Dina Mahusa was that the father of the woman who dies gets it, or the brothers of the woman who dies gets it, not the husband. So they want to claim that since you got married in this Medina, so there's a Dina, the Malchusa Dina, in this Medina, that it goes to the father and the relatives of the woman, of the wife, so you shouldn't get it. Says the Rama, that they can't say, Kol Anoise Isha Al Das HaMinig Hunoise V'nidin Adover B'nei Goyim. Let's go to the secular court, to probate, and adjudicate there, because there we'll win. Here we don't say Dina Chosadina. Why? So this is a very important Yisoy, and there's a few different shitas about it, but here the Rama is telling us the halacha, that you only say Dina Chosadina in a place where there's a melech, and there's a hanoa for the melech. Oy shuhul takonas b'nei hamedina. It has to be that this law was put in place for takonas b'nei hamedina. Avaloy shiadoinu b'dina goyim. Not that every single law we have to go exactly what the goyim, what the law of the land is. If there's a law that was put into place as a takona for all the medina, there there's a machlokes and there. But there is a makom to say dina malchusadina. But intricate laws that come up that there's a law that's trying to decide between two people, or Yerusha or Hezek or Mazikim, all these halachos, there would not be a dina de malchusadina. And another very important thing on page 30, fine print, the Mari Enzel says if you see the second highlight halfway down the page on the left side, page 30. Again, anything that has to do with it's not a clear defined law would for sure not have a dina malchusadina. It's something that a judge has to weigh in on, and the jury, the Supreme Court has to decide, and it's not something that's clear in law. For sure would not have anything to do with Dina Malchusadina. And one more point, page 31, the Chazon Ish tells us that in the second paragraph, kishat abo kishat chilas hanidoy min yisrael chaveiroi ein kandina chosadina v'dainin lehu v'dina yisrael v'zedas kol apoiskim. He says that when the government doesn't really get involved and they just have this law, but it's not something that they enforce between people, there, says the Chazanish, also there would not be a halacha of dina malchus adina. That's a very good question. So the way it works in Besdin is that before you sit down to a din Torah, you know, make sure, I think all about the din and do this, but all rabbis would be about the din for sure, make you sign two documents. So one is a shtar boirin, which is the halachic arbitration agreement to give the this Besdin jurisdiction. The olden days, every city had a Besdin. There was a Besdin Shem Ve'echad, and there was a system in place, and you called the Besdin, they had to come to that Besdin, and they had the jurisdiction. Today, the parties, apialocha, have to empower the Besdin by signing a valid shtar boirin that gives the Besdin the koyach and the power to paskin. That's, in other words, the mekabel kinyan, that whatever this person says, this person, this Besdin, you know, you can have one or three, or you know, the two, as soon as Zablo, whatever it is, the two parties have to sign and empower and give jurisdiction to the Besdin. Alongside that, they sign a valid legal arbitration agreement. So that arbitration agreement gives this panel a legal jurisdiction to be arbitrators on this money, and that the award that this panel of Dayanim write and award one of the parties over the other, that can be entered into court of law, and that could be collected and enforced through the arbitration agreement. It happens to be that a Besdin award could be stronger than a regular court award, because a court could be challenged in a superior court, and it could be vacated challenged. But when you have an arbitration agreement, so it's not based on a certain law. It's three rabbis that aren't professing to know law, to paskin according to the law, and therefore the judge will never overturn it. Because they blindly follow, as long as both parties have a signed valid arbitration agreement that it gives jurisdiction to the Dayanim, no court can overrule that. A Supreme Court or a Superior Court can't overturn it unless it's against public policy, or you know, when it comes to divorce and custody issues where there's kids involved. So there the courts could get involved and say it's against, you know, it's against the public policy, or if there was fraud, or if there was any type of foul play, it could be that the courts could get involved. But if it was done, everything was done, you know, with the proper due process, so a court will never be able to challenge the psak of a Besdin. You know, once in a while you'll find that they, you know, let's say by a non-compete, where it's very restrictive, or there's, you know, different cases where the courts feel that the psak is against, you know, human interest, so it could be they'll get involved. But 90% of the time, they cannot overturn a Besdin award. So that's a legally binding document, and I wouldn't suggest anybody sit down the entire without signing that document.
Sorry? Who gives up the war in Gaza?
Well, I think it stopped, no? The war?
Yeah,
that's true. We'll end with one case study, so to speak, which is very relevant today in New York. That is Iran says that it's not an Eretz Yisrael. The Eretz Yisrael, there's no deal with it because no one owns the land. Here in America, it's a question of democracy. If anybody owns the land, you know, there's no one really owns the land. You're not here because somebody, like, no one can throw you out of America. So, you know, some say that it's much weaker, but when it's the Taiva Samadino, then there would be. So we'll just end, and I'll take some questions. with a very fascinating question about tenants' rights, tenant laws. So the Imre Yosher on page 33 talks about where they wanted, somebody wanted to raise the rent, and the law was that it was a protection for the tenants that they couldn't raise the rent. So the Imre Yosher on the second column, he says, he says it's a tremendous takana to protect the tenants, that they should have where to live. That tenants shouldn't be thrown out on the street. So it's zichla toiva samadina to protect the tenants and not to be able to raise the rent more than a certain amount, whatever the law is, and not to be able to evict the tenant, and the tenants have protection. It says the immigration, it's an unbelievable takon. It's a toiva samadina. Anybody have any comments on that? So if you look at the next page, fascinating. The Chavetzel Sashori takes it to task. And he says, Venira da Rav Mitorno, the Turno Arov, who was the Imre Yosher. He said that when there was a war and there was no housing, the Oz Hayabemes, Ace Lachat, people were in the street, they knew where to live. And he had to be mahapach and take the side of the tenants. What's with the landlords? The landlords are losing the building when they want. How can you dictate a landlord what he should charge? It's supply and demand is the price. You know, how can you tell him not to charge? It's there because you want to live there. There's more and more tenants. Because to them, it's going to be much worse because they're not going to be able to find, because everybody's staying put, no one's moving. They're not going to have anywhere to live. So the people are in the risk grade, but no landlords are going to buy buildings. No one's going to be building buildings, because why do you build a building if you can't charge rent? So there's not going to be any dearest. And we all know, says the Chavetzel Sashori, that this law, the socialistin, to look inside those, if you ever want to know how to spell communistin in Hebrew, and the socialistin, that we all know that these are the groups and the things are putting pressure, the Democrats, lilchoitz ala ashirim, lilkachas min moinam, shekol elo ashitoisu neged as toirah, v'chalil olaymer b'zeh shezeyim nikri din gomor al pi divri atoirah akdoishav, avshekvar nogu kein, ain't a minig, but seeking, even though there's a minig, it's not a real authentic minig. It comes from pressure from sociologists and democratic, whatever it is. Rak mishum she'ein yad bezim tekifah v'gam anoshim yireim regilim ad hayoyim v'spah shelchein eineni zo midayti b'zeh. So he defutes the Imre Yosher, and there's a lot of other read on this, very fascinating, Shiloh. Actually, with Moshe Feinstein, if you want to look for a minute, page 36, in Igros Moshe, he says that, a new yisoid that we have to remember, and then we'll take questions, that Dina Malchus Adina, even in the case where there's no Dina Malchus Adina, but if everybody is being noyig like this because of Dina Malchus Adina, if the law is such and everybody's doing this because even though it's because of the law, but that creates a minute. So even in a government or a law or a halacha that doesn't really warrant the halacha of dinam chusadino, but the din of minig would be bound. And says Ramesha Feinstein that if a person rents a dira after the law is instituted, if he's there already from beforehand, so then maybe he can say there's no din machus adin in such a case, like the Chavetzel Sasharon said, because in America, no machus adin, you can handle a din of machus adin. But if the guy rented the dira after the law was put in place, and everybody's noig like that, so even though it's the minig is because of din machus adin, But lamaisa minik for sure is mevatel halacha. And al daske, even if you don't write in the contract that you can't be evicted or you can't raise the rent more than 6% or whatever the law is, but if everybody's noting like that, so then the minik would be mevatel halacha to minik itself. So that's also very, something very important to take into consideration. You know, something that comes to light is like, you know, let's say a person's renting an illegal, you know, second family or whatever it is. So then you couldn't say that that's the minig based on illegal Zadina. But a minig, always you have to come back to, is this a minig or not? We'll take some questions. What?
Malpractice law.
So you're allowed to sue a doctor for malpractice. He has to, you know, that the doctor has to have insurance. It says Nit and Rishus Lorei for the Rapplis. The doctor, right? You're allowed to sue the person if you're suing the insurance, even though you're suing the actual yid. You're allowed to sue the insurance through the yid because that's part of driving, part of practicing medicine. Yes.
Spoke earlier about not being filed because of the law. Good example.
Right, that's a very good. Right, that's a very good point. Anytime there's the government's not being across the board, and there's different laws for different sects of people, and different types of people, and different religion, so there would not be a din of dinah. But definitely does. The question is, you know, you have to know the case. Each case is different.
Right.
But Chilash,
it's
definitely
about it.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, especially, of course, the Gezelakum and Toysakum, the first thing is Chil Hashem. Avedusakum is the Toys, but if it's Chil Hashem, then not. 100%. That's a very, very important thing.
They rarely do. They just do deep pockets into the hospital.
What's that? Right. You're allowed to take that money, unless the alpitoyer that doesn't say you're allowed to. But you're allowed to sue him for the 100,000. You sue him for a million, but you're allowed to take any money from him unless the bezin authorizes it. But you're allowed to sue the insurance for whatever they're going to give. And even though his policy is going to go up, his premiums will go up. That's more of a grumma, and that's not your issue. Since you're, you know, it happens to be that according, in order to drive, you have to have insurance. So you're not allowed to drive on, you know, therefore you're allowed to muscle. If you get into an accident, there's no reason in Alaka where he has guys to pay for your rental car. That's something that insurance pays for. But yeah, Alaka, there's no din that you mazik somebody have to pay for a supplement car. So, but since that's the terms of driving is to have insurance, you're allowed to go to insurance and get from the insurance. A lot of times people say, please, no, don't go to my insurance. So if you don't want me to go to insurance, then you have to pay me whatever the insurance would pay. Even though I'll be a local, you're not obligated, let's say, to rent the guy a car. But if I have a right to go to insurance, and you say, don't go to insurance,
right,
what?
It's a law, you're not going to insurance.
Okay. No, let's say a guy wants to settle out of court. He wants to pay, he doesn't want his insurance to go up, he'll pay $1,000, and don't go to insurance.
But I'm saying, but if someone gets into an accident on public property,
New York. Let's say you're Michael, you don't care about it. Yeah, I still have to go to insurance.
I'm pretty sure in the contract with the insurance, you have to notify your insurance. That's another guy. Just that. Even if you were like,
I don't think there's Dima Chusudina on that law.
Okay.
Accidents in the car, so you can go to the insurance.
Sometimes they'll be deductible.
Right. So you get a lot of accidents in Bezin, a lot of return accidents. A lot of times people say, there's no insurance, we'll settle, I'll tell you whatever it is. And as soon as they go home, they back over, they mean it. And then they come to Bezin, and the guy said, you know, he has a right to go to insurance. You can get a police report afterwards. So that's not a problem. It depends. They have to, you know, it depends on what the law is, what law it is. It doesn't many times pass against the Dinah Chusudina, you know. Like we just said, the case of.
And one of the arbitrator goes to a court to fight against patients.
But, and like, to get them in trouble, you mean?
Or to get their way.
To get their way? You're not allowed. First of all, I don't think a court would take it after there's a signed arbitration agreement. They'll tell you go to the arbitrators. You don't have jurisdiction. The Besdin, if you sign, that's fine, but you signed an arbitration agreement. You have no rights in court anymore. Your rights are in the with the arbitration panel. You have to go to the Besdin. You can't go to the court once you sign the arbitration agreement.
So are we all going to America at the end of the day? America at the end of the day is just
not. Good question. I mean, if it's a better sign, then the better it is.
I heard there's no, in terms of copyright law, I heard from Occupancy Witty Grove, a big statement that copyright law may not be connected. The minimal quotidian may not apply to copyright law. Came up with, let's say, Jewish person makes music and I asked this question, I don't even know if it's correct, but he takes the music, let's say, if it's from a Goyish song directly, where a court would consider it, say, are you allowed to buy the CD? And he said, copyright law, came up with the CD, do not connect. Is there any specific, is this a well known thing, or was this just a long stock? I just,
which one?
That copyright law, the
this
is not like the copyright law.
I'm
just curious about the reasoning behind this.
No, it's not clear because copyright law, the clear is the famous
right,
Medina.
Right.
So you know there is yeah. It's also based on halacha for not copying CDs. It's only when operation Zayas, it's also a whole different share. But there's there is based on halacha not to copy something that somebody spent a lot of time and money on. Yeah. There's a whole sefer, like 1,000 pages on Suyas Ayetrim, exactly what the halacha is, if you're allowed to copy, why you're not allowed to copy. No, sir. I have a copy of the sefer in my house.
I said it was very expensive.